Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. In life, an initial success can launch momentum or distract wisdom. Have you experienced that? Yesterday, we watched as Samuel anointed Saul to be the first human king of Israel, to the delight of the elders who had demanded a change. No longer would Israel be a theocracy, which means one nation, under God, indivisible, with God as king. The elders wanted Israel to have a human king and be like every other nation. Why? The elders said, "We want a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles." 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 11 gives us the story of that first battle in which Saul rallied over 300,000 Israelites to fight the Ammonites, who had threatened to gouge out the right eye of every person in the town of Jabesh-Gilead. With such a huge army, victory was quick and fairly easy, with the Ammonites slaughtered. Naturally, a great euphoria swept over the Israelites, who suddenly felt invincible. With euphoria of victory sometimes comes pride and foolish ambitions, as you'll see in 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 12 to 15. But in that moment, you'll also see a very good start to Saul's kingship, as he gave God credit for the victory and called the people to a thankful worship celebration. I imagine Samuel was well pleased with what he saw and grateful to God that it appeared Samuel could retire, leaving the nation in somewhat capable hands. So Samuel took the opportunity, as Joshua and Moses had done, to deliver a farewell challenge speech, which you'll find in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel's opening salvo of challenge is significant to all of us. Will we be able to say something similar at the end of our lives? Samuel said, "Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I'm old and gray. I have been your leader since my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord. Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to shut my eyes? If I've done any of these things, I will make it right." 1 Samuel 12, verse 1 to 3. I think we need to pause and reflect on our lives for a few seconds. As we reflect, what does the Holy Spirit show us about our reputation, our track record, including the things done in secret which no one else knows about? Aren't you glad the shed blood of Jesus is sufficient to earn us forgiveness from God for anything of which we repent, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8? And aren't we glad the cleansing of the Holy Spirit is complete, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9? Would you agree Samuel's words provide an excellent model for us in developing our farewell speech when the time comes and we each know our earthly journey is coming to an end? The Israelites responded to Samuel, as I hope our family and friends will be able to respond to us. "You have not cheated or oppressed us. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand." And so from that position of an honorable leadership legacy platform, Samuel followed the pattern of both Moses and Joshua and reviewed the sovereignty of God over Israel's history, going back to the days of Moses, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 5 to 12. Then, with their minds and hearts acknowledging all God had done for his people through the generations, in faithfulness to his covenant promises, Samuel reminded the people they had rejected God's leadership and demanded a human king. And while that king had just led them in a great battlefield victory, the euphoria they felt was dangerous. And so Samuel warned them with these historic words: "If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God, good. But if you do not obey the Lord and if you rebel against his commands, God's hand will be against you as it was against your ancestors." 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13 to 15. Do we hear and understand God's warning, my friends? Have we seen through history and even in our own families the absolute truthfulness of God's warning? courageously, Samuel took another deep breath and spoke these challenging words. "Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest now? I will call on the Lord to send thunder and rain, and then you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a human king." 1 Samuel 12, verse 16 and 17. So what does it mean? The wheat stalks were tall and lush, ready for harvest. The sun was high in the sky and dry weather was perfect for harvesting wheat. But a rainstorm would soak the wheat and potentially ruin the crop. Samuel prayed. The sky grew dark with clouds and rain poured down in torrents, and the wheat stalks were pummeled. The harvest was soaked and potentially ruined. The Israelites had done the same thing. They had thrown away their God-promised, God-blessed future by rejecting God's leadership and demanding a human king. And while Saul had been successful in rallying an army and defeating an enemy attack, Saul could do nothing about reviving a lost wheat harvest. And that was just one small evidence of the dramatic difference between trusting in God's leadership, God's provision, God's protection, and trusting in a human king, even if he was attractive and tall. Pause. Have you and I ever made similar decisions and put our future and that of our family at great risk? Samuel's next closing words, then, are a great rebuke and guidance for us today as we find ourselves in similar disasters of our own making. "Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish." 1 Samuel 12, verse 20 to 25. Do you hear God's unfailing love, his never-ending mercy, his faithfulness to his holiness, but also his holy justice, which will be served all for God's honor and glory? And if all that wasn't enough, Samuel said one final thing, which has challenged my heart for a long time. "As for me, far be it from me so that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right." 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Oh my! There it is, my friends. My life mission for this season of my life and the rest of my life. And what about you? Isn't that a powerful life mission for any person at any stage of life? Praying earnestly for those people who are influenced by your life and prioritizing both modeling for them and mentoring them in God's ways, which are good and right. Is there anything that could be more important for you or me for the remainder of our lives?